We enter God's story with God's people in 1 Samuel during a time in which the word of the Lord was rare and visions were not widespread. Eli's sons, who are priests in the temple, have been abusing their roles. They've been taking too much of the worshipers' offerings. They've also taken indecent liberties with female servers in the temple. Eli's vision, physically and metaphorically speaking, is basically gone. He's done the best he can, teaching Samuel about the service of the Lord and raising him since he was a child. Eli has also done the best he can for his biological children, but he can't seem to restrain his son's bad behavior. In the wee hours of one morning, young Samuel sleeps close to the Holy of Holies, virtually at the foot of what we might call the altar today in the Christian church, and hears his name. Samuel wakes Eli and says, "You called me, here I am." This happens two more times. And the final time, Eli perceives that this teenager is not crazy. The Lord is speaking to the boy. Eli wisely counsels Samuel, "It's all right. It's okay. Lie down, and if he calls again, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" And blessedly, the Lord calls Samuel once more. Only this time, he knows who is calling and responds accordingly, "Lord, I am here, I am listening." And the Lord speaks to him not a word of comfort, but a word of judgment, of prophecy about the soon-to-be destruction of the house of Eli. And we imagine that for the next hour or so, Samuel stays awake, wondering if and how he can share what he has heard with Eli, who's like a father to him. And in the break of the day, as if Eli can see again and is open to the vision of the Lord, he says, "Samuel, don't hide anything from me of what the Lord has spoken." And young Samuel bravely speaks all that he has heard. And Eli bravely accepts this word. And in the years to come, God keeps speaking to Samuel, and Samuel keeps listening and speaking God's word to all of Israel. The story in some ways seems too far-fetched for many of us. God explicitly, directly talking to us in the middle of the night, or really any time of the day, is not commonplace. We may yearn to hear God speak, but rarely is the voice of the Lord so easy to recognize. Rarely is what God is saying so clear and easy to understand. With this real experience in mind, we can treat this part of God's story with God's people as just ancient history or mere fantasy. Or on the other hand, perhaps we have only heard the first 10 verses of the story. After all, verses 11 through 20 are optional. And when we hear what God has to say to Samuel in those last 10 verses, we might not want God to speak to us at all. The thought of telling our father or mother, for instance, "Oh, by the way, the leadership around here is changing, you'll be out of the house by morning," it's not really appealing. Why would we want the Lord of heaven and earth to call us by name if what we have to do is so risky? This reality leads us to skip over the story as quickly as possible. But we need the story. You and I need God's story with Samuel and Eli to remind us that God's call and our response occurs in community. Remember that young Samuel needs Eli's help to recognize the voice calling his name as the voice of the living God. Remember that Eli raised Samuel in the context of the family of faith in the temple. All of his time with Eli, his mentor, all of his time spent in study and prayer and service helped prepare Samuel for this moment in his life and the life of Israel. And Samuel's word, the word of the Lord to him, was not solely for himself. It was meant to be shared. It was meant to reach Eli and eventually reach throughout all of Israel so they would know that the word of the Lord was not rare and the vision was new and good. And Eli, amazingly so, remained vulnerable to the word of the Lord, even though it was a word of judgment. The Serenity Prayer is one of my favorites. And even though it was written thousands of years later, I imagine that all of Eli's time at the temple with others helped him have what we would call the serenity to accept things that he could not change. His serenity came from years upon years of seeking God with others, of studying God's word, of serving the Lord as best he knew how with the help of his larger faith community and the tradition before him. In my call to the priesthood, I certainly had no experience like Samuel's. I participated in a week-long gathering of Christian college students to sing and pray and hear speakers like Bishop Stephen Charleston and Desmond Tutu in December of 1999. The theme for the week was Micah chapter 6, verse 8. What does the Lord require of you? To do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. In between speakers, someone, I have no earthly idea who, made an announcement saying that in a few years, many Episcopal priests would be retiring, and we needed young Episcopal priests who would live this verse from Micah. And in a moment, it was like my heart said, sign me up. I kept it to myself for a while, a couple of days really. I went home and told my mother that I thought I was supposed to be a priest. She didn't seem surprised and said, yes, I can see that. That makes sense. We went to eat ice cream, and that was that. In the years to come, a few people asked if I had thought about ordained ministry. I lied and said no. And there came a point where I couldn't lie anymore. And once in the official discernment process, I still wanted that neon sign. I still wanted God to wake me in the middle of the night and say, yes, you are to be a priest. My mother, once again, spoke the truth. She poignantly asked me as I was reflecting on the unofficial and official discernment process, Erin, has anyone in the parish discernment committee or the commission on ministry or the standing committee had any grave concern about this for you? I said, no. She asked, in your prayer life, Erin, have you felt more drawn to another ministry? If you're really honest with yourself, Erin, have you ever felt a tug this tightly? And I said, no. And she pointed out to me that all of these experiences together were the neon sign. The experiences within my church family, the times of great loss, the times of challenge, conversations with spiritual directors, the encounters with Christ in unexpected people and places, all of these things formed me to hear and respond to God calling. Clergy or lay, ordained or not, we all have call stories, and usually we have more than one in one's lifetime, too. And this is good news, great news actually for you and for me. Since God calls in community, when we can't identify God's voice, we're not doomed to silence. God provides the help we need. Because God calls in community, we can respect and learn from other voices, for no one person has a corner on the market on God. Because God calls in community, we can be more comfortable with both giving and receiving help. After all, if we don't have questions now, we will certainly have them later. And you may be the very help that someone needs. You may be the Eli for a Samuel. You may have the discernment one needs to gain clarity on the numerous voices that cry for his attention. You may offer support when a person of faith asks a tough question or speaks a hard truth. Or you may be the Samuel for an Eli at some point. You may have the courage to name what is broken, even in the midst of those whom you especially love. Not having an experience like Samuel's, or being afraid that God will ask us to do a hard thing, doesn't really get us off the hook. God is calling. God keeps calling and seeks you and me by name. The hope and really the gift is that together with God's help, we can know his way. And we can actually walk in the way of the Lord all the days of our life. And God is patient and is well acquainted with all our ways. My brothers and sisters, listening to God and responding accordingly is no mere pipe dream, but a possibility. So remain in this church family. Remain in community, especially in the confusion of dark nights. Ask for help, learn from others. Say a hard thing and be vulnerable. Together as a church family, we have better hearing, better speaking, and the most faithful lives possible to gain. Amen.